Have you ever heard the phrase, there's a time and place for everything? Hi everybody, Martin Zender from the South American Bunker. There's a time and a place for everything. Time and place. Last week I talked to you about time. God is operating in periods of time, and which are the eons, and he's also operating in space. He's doing things, so he's a God of place as well. He placed Paul Cole on Abbey Road on August 6, 1969. He places you where you are right this minute listening to this show. He is a God of time. He is a God of place. He's got everything covered. And to cover those concepts, time and place, they're not concepts, they're realities, he has two different names. He has a name and a title. The name of God is Yahweh. This is specifically related to Israel, but it's his time name. And I'm going to break down these four letters, YHWH, which can be also translated Jehovah, and this is also Lord. And this is his name. Now, he has a title as well. His title is Elohim, sometimes shortened to El. It's El when he's working himself. It's Elohim when he's working through intermediaries who carry his authority and who act on his word. So with this name and this title, God has time and space covered. Jehovah, Yahweh, is his time name, and Elohim is his space name. And really, to our perspective, he has no other spheres of operation. It's heaven and earth. That's where he's operating, heaven and earth. If there's anything else, I don't know of it. There's also the subterranean that's beneath the earth, but that would still be considered earth. So this is the space. And the time he's working in is confined to the eons. God doesn't give us anything besides eons to think about because we can't grasp something that has no beginning and no end. So let me see if you follow me here. His place name is Elohim. He places things. In fact, El means placer. His time name is Jehovah. Actually, it'd be the place title. Place title and the time name. It's title. God takes many different titles. You will find he's called El Shaddai, that is the breasted one. He's called Jehovah Jireh, and I can't remember what that means, but many different titles illustrate the roles he assumes at different times, and God does assume different roles at different times. In the book of Revelation, he's an indignant God. But is this his true character? No, it's not. He calls himself Jehovah, the time God. Is he limited to time? No, he's not. He's also the God of the universe who places things. He's El. So he calls himself different things at different times. That's why I'm bringing this up. It's so interesting, especially as we get to Revelation, we need to realize that when we see these things occurring, this isn't the essence of God. It's not his true character. He's love. He's a God of love. And we see him as an indignant God, but it doesn't mean that that's his essence, okay? It's not his essence. It's an assumption. He's assuming a role. And don't be startled by this, because he assumed a role in the Old Testament as well when he brought the law to Moses. He assumed the role for the purpose of eventually bringing grace and truth. John 1:18 says the law came through Moses, yet grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So God assumes the role of an indignant deity. He assumes the role of someone who's so disappointed with you. Why couldn't you do this? I gave you 10 simple rules. You couldn't obey them. Therefore, I'm going to banish you and you're going to be withheld from entering into the kingdom. He knew what they were going to do. He assumes an indignant person when Adam sins in the garden. What? You've disobeyed the only rule I gave you? And yet, that's Jehovah. That's the God who's wandering around in the garden. That's him condescending to speak to humans. Above that, he's El. He's the great one. He's the God who's arranging everything. So another way to look at this is the absolute and the relative perspective. Absolutely, God is arranging things. He's El. He's Elohim. Relatively, as he's moving through time with us, he's Lord. He's Jehovah, the God of space and time. Now, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, we read this. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Okay? Mark that title. Elohim, the God who arranges things. Not Jehovah. It doesn't say Jehovah created the heavens and the earth. Because Jehovah is the relative perspective. That's when we start looking into the history of humanity. And in the book of the Unveiling, we're seeing the end, part of the end of the history of humanity. And God is the God of history. But we can't limit him to that. God as Elohim, created by Elohim were the heavens on the earth. He's showing himself as the God who creates. He's creating a stage as Elohim on which he will perform deeds, on which he will stage, if I can use the verb form now of stage, the drama of the universe on planet Earth. Planet Earth was created by Elohim, not Jehovah, same being, different appellation. Created the Earth as a stage to enact the ultimate battle between good and evil and to show humanity the futility of its ways, which will eventually bless it, because humanity is going to be left panting on the ground in exhaustion, having done everything. In the 6 days of man, the 6,000 years of humanity, to perfect the earth, to bring utopia, and to fail miserably. This is Elohim, the one who creates the stage. And then we see the next phase of the operation is he creates the creatures on the stage. He now peoples his stage with people, and he animals it with animals. And he puts humanity in charge of the animals. Why do you have a lower order? Why are there animals? Why are there animals? I'm sorry, elephant. And I'm sorry, pig. And I'm sorry, cow, for questioning why you exist. But I must do it. But I know why you exist. Because you give us rulership practice. Adam was given the dominion over the animals, because one day Adam, or humanity, his progeny, is going to be ruling not only the earth, but a section of humanity, a small, select portion of humanity will be ruling among the heavens. It's humanity's destiny to run stuff. And of course, when we see us doing it now, we see failure after miserable failure, but it doesn't mean we're not going to do it someday with God's enablement. So you notice in Genesis now, there's a shift. I think it's in chapter 2. I should have looked this up for you, but I want you to do some work here too. Now we see the creation of man from this powerful point of view. Elohim creates the heaven and the earth, and he creates man, and he's like moving chess pieces around. He creates the animals, creates the elephant, creates the ostrich, creates Adam, creates Eve, puts arranges things, right? That's the placer. El means placer, subjector. And now he joins his creation, and we get another creation description. It's not a different creation, but now we have the same story, the same account told from the perspective of one who is among his creation. And this is Yahweh. This is Jehovah. Now Jehovah God walks. Jehovah walks with Adam in the garden. This is now the time God. So he formed man, and now there's a clock that starts, and I should look it up. I'll have it for you tomorrow, in Genesis 2 or 3 or something. And now we see God, again, being a God of time. And the clock begins to tick, the clock of human history now begins to tick. And this is really important to know when you start getting disturbed, because you need to keep these two aspects of God in mind. Because you can make two mistakes. Two potential mistakes can be made easily here. You can see God as some almighty creator who just speaks the world into existence, and then leaves. And then we're rolling around here on our own, and we can't seem to, we've fallen down and we can't seem to get up. Or you can make the opposite mistake, and you can see him as a personal God, and he's with me, he walks with me, talks with me. I'm not making fun of it, yes I am, but many people who see this personal God, they fail to realize that he is still the one operating all in accord with the counsel of his own will. In other words, they see the God of time, Jehovah, the Lord, their personal Savior, and they forget that this is the same one who is also El, directing the affairs of humanity. Because, well, just picture Pilate looking at Jesus Christ. He was so hidden, so veiled, that you're the creator of everything. Through you, all was created, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. Are you kidding me? So you can be tricked that way. And many people are tricked. For instance, atheists, a lot of people have given up on God. They're so ticked off because they think the world is in chaos. They see the great creator God. They see the El. They see the Elohim that created the heavens and the earth, but they don't see the personal God. Here's joy, here's peace, here's revelation. You want revelation? Take this information into the book of Revelation. We have the benefit of both viewpoints because we're coming to an understanding of this, because I'm bringing it to you today. I didn't invent this. It's there. We have the God of power. We have the placer. We have the God who does all things, who peoples the universe, who moves people where he wants to, moves Paul Cole to Abbey Road on August the 6th, 1969. That's the deity. We depend on him. We love him. We rely on him. But he's also a God who is with us. He's also the Aeonian God. He's the God who goes with us and holds our hands through time. Thank God that we have both of these accurate, notable perceptions of our one great deity.